Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply. Nintendo!
Welcome to the Nintendo Voice Chat for the week of May 25th, 2017. I'm your host, Jose Otero, and coming up on Nintendo Voice Chat, we're going to kick things off with a big rumor that showed up in the Wall Street Journal last week saying that Zelda was going to be one of Nintendo's mobile titles. Then, after that, we're going to talk about another leaky ship, signs of another leaky thing with Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Some key art leaked. We're going to share our thoughts on that. And then, finally, some news. Joining me this week is Brian Altano.
Hey, what's up?
It is Per Schneider, who looks a little worried.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know.
I was waiting for you to speak.
What are you...
Hi, Jose.
I had a bit of housekeeping. Nintendo Voice Chat is a weekly show on IGN. And obviously, if you're watching this, first of all, you should know where to find it. You can find it on IGN.com. Just go to the shows tab. You'll find it under Nintendo Voice Chat. You can also watch us on YouTube.com/Nintendo Voice Chat. While you're there, make sure you subscribe. I mean, why not? You can get every episode and be up to date. I mean, it makes sense. And you can also subscribe on your podcast feeds. Just search Nintendo Voice Chat and you'll find us there. All right. Last thing I want to plug real fast. Reminder, E3 is coming up and our festivities. This show is going to have our own special pre-show to Nintendo's E3 Spotlight. This is going to be on Tuesday, June 13th at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. That is 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, 4:30 p.m. British Standard Time, and 2 p.m. for our Australian viewers. So please make sure that you check it out. Now, the real topic. Let's kick things off with, Wall Street Journal says, sources told the Wall Street Journal that Zelda is going to be a mobile game for Nintendo this fiscal year. We know that Nintendo has said they want to do 2 to 3 mobile games a year, and the Animal Crossing, so far, is still one of those games. What do we think about this?
Yes, I'm into it, right? What, no?
No, I was going to say, fake news? No.
I was like, are we going to go at different angles where I'm like, I'm excited? And it's like, I hate it. I'm like, all right, cool. The peanut gallery's done.
Do you believe it and do you like it?
Yes, I believe it. It's an easy rumor, right? Because it's inevitability, right? Like it's going to happen no matter what. I looked at my skepticism going into Mario Run being like, how can this replicate the type precision that I expect from a Mario platforming game on handhelds and consoles from Nintendo for decades now? And then I played it. And my immediate reaction was like, I don't like it. It's loose. It doesn't work. And then 20 hours later, I was like, I've gotten every black coin. This is one of my favorite platforming games. The next Mario game has to learn some tricks from this one. I really, really liked it. And I really think that there's room for the Zelda franchise to do the next thing. Now, I think where it's interesting is that Mario Run in the pantheon of 2D platforming games that we've gotten from Mario Run sort of came at the tail end of kind of, I don't know, after Mario Maker, really, which was the standout, a bunch of very similar 2D Mario games. The next mobile or the mobile Zelda game is coming after Breath of the Mother.
Drop it.
And Wild.
Which is not only the most impressive Zelda game ever made on many levels, but one of the best video games I've ever played. So it's going to have to not try to replicate that experience, but do something incredibly new and different. So I'm excited for it.
Do you guys remember when we talked about Nintendo's mobile strategy way before when they announced their new title? We said that they would obviously use their franchise to make money on the mobile platform, but also leverage them for promotion. And I feel like that's where, to me now, like a Zelda game being announced very soon is very, very plausible because you've got Breath of the Wild selling out there. You've got the DLC coming up later in the year. And now you can do the second push with mobile where you, let's say they do a Zelda runner, like, you know, don't scoff at it. They could do a Mario Run where when you hit the screen, Link slashes his sword to get rid of characters in his path or something, right? Like they could go that route. If they then set it in the Breath of the Wild universe and constantly tell you about this other experience you can have on the Switch, that to me makes sense.
So I think a lot of the logic you just laid out on the table makes a lot of sense. I do, however, think that one thing that I have noticed with each Nintendo mobile game is that it does a pretty good job. No, it does a really good job, though, of still being true to what that series is. Fire Emblem Heroes is absolutely, even if it is a light version of Fire Emblem main games, 3DS games, it is still very signature, very much Fire Emblem. Yeah, they took out the relationships. Yes, they made the map smaller, but it still was made to contain and work on mobile. I think the same thing could be said of Mario Run, which clearly went with a level design structure rather than going with an endless runner sort of strategy. So I do think that if Zelda does make this transition into a mobile game, it will be true to what Zelda is about.
You think it will be exploration?
I think it will be some form of exploration / combat.
Yeah.
Now, if we had to sit here and trade our sort of take on what it could be, I think there is a couple of things we can look at that have either been on the App Store or just ideas in general that could work on a phone. Mm-hmm. So coincidentally, I think the game that most captures a Zelda feel to me, especially in terms of exploration and combat, but obviously the exploration part doesn't work the way Nintendo's games work. Nintendo's games all work vertically. You hold them and you play them in one hand. But regardless, Sword and Sorcery, I'm forgetting. That's the full title.
Sorcery,
I believe that's full title. I just wanted to, I'm actually opening it because I haven't like seen it in forever. But Sword and Sorcery to me was that Zelda-like experience, something that had some interesting combat, something that had some interesting takes on exploration, on this mystic quest. But here's the thing. I would look at then, I wouldn't assume that everything's just going to happen on one screen. If you're exploring a dungeon, maybe you're exploring just tiles on your phone that you touch. You have a chance to get into a random battle that then becomes an action game. Mm-hmm. Now, you can still do an action game using touch controls. And the last time we had a transition between overworld and battle, by the way, was Zelda 2.
Zelda 2, yeah.
Yeah, which I coincidentally been playing this weekend. So I think this is feasible. I think it's possible that it can work. It's just, it comes down to what are the right systems in place and how they take advantage of
that. I hear you. My prediction is it's not going to be exploration. I don't think they'll do an adventure game simply because, like,
that Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery.
It gets
EP,
too yeah. close. It gets too close to what they do on 3DS. Like I think it's either going to be a single screen solve a puzzle in a room kind of like 8-bit style game where you push a stone to the left and a block to the right, like something like that that is more manageable, because like the moment they start building a quest and stuff.
See, but I think you're taking what I'm saying a little too deep. I think it will be relatively light.
Simple.
I don't think they're going to go super deep on mechanics or super deep on puzzles, but I do think they want to convey, or at least if I was a mobile developer, I would want to convey the spirit of adventure and of having a finite goal and what you're trying to achieve. Now, granted, I love that when I introduce this topic, though, you let off with the most important thing to say, which is, do you believe it?
Uh-huh. Right.
That's the thing, right? Is this reliable source or not? I mean, Wall Street Journal believes it enough that they ran the story, right? And these are good reporters. These are people who definitely would double-check sources before they would go with something like
that. It's going to happen in our lives. Right. Let's put it that way. These games are making tremendous amount of money for them. It's a great brand opportunity for them. It's a great way of reaching an audience that may either they've never reached before or may have lapsed from the olden days. I think what's interesting about, say, look at like Pokemon Go, Fire Emblem, Mario Run. Boiled down at the essence, those games are very, like you said, very similar to the sort of the core fundamentals of what those franchises are traditionally. Zelda's a weird one because I don't know what Zelda is traditionally. Is it a top-down game? Is it a side-scrolling game? Is it a touchscreen game? Is it an open-world 3D game?
The consistent theme, though, is adventure, right?
Of course. So I think
except for crossbow training, which is, to me, closer to a mobile game concept.
Right. Why are you going to bring that one up, though? Like, really, why are you going to do that?
Yeah,
right,
but...
Because mean?
Okay. Yeah, but nothing... I don't think nothing is gained for Nintendo by doing... a mobile game on a platform with this big of an audience that is a major departure from what Zelda as an experience is. I don't think Nintendo treats Zelda really preciously. Eh?
Yeah.
Although there is Tingle Rupee Land.
That's what I was going to say.
Your crossbow training.
Yep.
But I think that is meant to serve a specific audience that's already playing Zelda games on a platform, whereas this is reintroducing people to what Zelda is on a platform where they haven't touched it. And their closest comparison, by the way, is Oceanhorn, which is a piece of shit game.
Ooh.
And I said it.
Wow. I thought Oceanhorn was pretty good.
I did not like Oceanhorn.
All right.
Anyway,
it is a very Zelda-like game. Like, looks like
Wind Waker. It is all of the derivative, like, we want to be a blend of Wind Waker and Link to the Past with none of the nuance or understanding of what makes those games.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I still think it'll be a smaller game, like a Fruit Ninja set in the Zelda universe. Something that, yes, harkens back to, like, you have a sword and you do something, or you run and Link slashes. Like,
if we're going to get
I know how hard it is to make a Zelda game.
That I'd rather have like a boss fight run with like minuscule dungeons that's more akin to something like Infinity Blade, if that's the case.
It could be that too.
I mean, and that's how you do Fruit Ninja controls with something a little more nuanced. But again, like, it's hard to clock this, right? Because let's look at the last few Zelda releases. Breath of the Wild, a massive open world survival game where you cook food. Right? That's a very reductive way of boiling that one down.
I get it.
Triforce Heroes, a online multiplayer co-op adventure.
Where you throw Brian into the abyss.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as many times as
many
you
times
can.
As you can until I just can't take it anymore. Majora's Mask 3DS, right? That got ported. Before that, we had Link Between Worlds, which was a top-down 2D single-player game.
Mm-hmm. No, and I get what you're saying. There are multiple interpretations. There are multiple directions. This formula and this franchise and the series has been in. I only think that, again, given who you're trying to attract with this game and the idea of playing on that nostalgia, on playing on the things that they care about or cared about with Zelda, I think that, yeah, you're not going to make Breath of the Wild for mobile, that's
no,
for sure.
But you're right. You want exploration. Yeah. You want combat. So I think immediately that throws out, like, the match three puzzle games, the Fruit Ninjas. I'm sorry.
It's not like I want a Fruit Ninja Zelda game. I'm just...
And I think that's an important perspective to present, by the way.
We'll see. We should remember this discussion and then come back. Like, I just have a hard time believing that they would do something that is either akin to kind of like 8-bit or 16-bit style Zelda gameplay. I think it's going to be simple.
Yeah, but why did they do it with Mario then? Like, why hew that closely
to how a Mario game plays? One of the top genres on mobile is Endless Runner.
Okay.
And they had a game where they're like, we can absolutely do it, and we can still say it's not
that was
be as,
totally yeah. on in line with how Mario games play, outside of the fact that you didn't control them. The jump control, the precision, the sort of stylistic way you're collecting things, like, that is all fundamentally Mario.
Super simple control. You tap to jump.
Yeah.
The Zelda game that is about exploration has directional control, which, like, I'm sure the Nintendo guys, when they play on a touchscreen, say, well, you can do it like stylus, like our Zelda games on the DS, but they're not going to give you a virtual D-pad.
But look at Fire Emblem Heroes and moving around and that. You're moving across a grid. That problem solved.
Pokemon Go is
different ways to do it.
That's different from Link to the Past.
Guys. Yeah. Pokemon Go is an exploration-based game with mild combat elements to it, effectively, right?
Somewhat, yeah.
So if you can't render an entire 3D world on your phone, make the world... in the world outside.
You think they're going to do that?
Yeah, I think that traveling the earth with your phone in your hand and finding cool Zelda treasures or enemies or something like that, taking the Pokemon Go approach and applying it in the same way we all found shrines, put that annoying beeping noise on my phone, you know? I think that you drill down closer. Cause look, it's not going to work with a fake D-pad.
No.
It's not going to work with a fake analog stick.
No.
They're not going to do it. The Endless Runner approach, is interesting because we've only really seen Link as a side-scrolling game in stuff like Zelda 2 or Smash Brothers, maybe. It just doesn't really work that way.
It could be just very simple. You just click on the next room you're going to enter. The dungeons are generic and the combat scenarios are generic. It almost feels like a cross between action and RPG, but still very light in terms of what it's trying to represent, which is the thing I'm mostly thinking this could be like.
Yeah.
Definitely not expecting anything deeper than that.
Yeah, it's tough to predict. I mean, I'm really curious to see what it will turn out.
Agree.
But like, I think the prediction of a Nintendo franchise now on mobile, it's a no-brainer. They're going to run through their franchises. Mm-hmm. They're going to run through their big games, all the while the Pokemon Company keeps cranking out little games on
and
the side.
We've said it before on the show, but when Mario Kart gets a turn, oh my God. Just forget it. Forget it. Especially if they find a smart way to do free to play and put that game out there. I mean, that's their biggest their biggest attraction right now, right? Their biggest franchise, the one that most people recognize and that 500,000 copies can sell in a matter of 2 days, a port of an old game. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe it sometimes when I see what Mario Kart effectively can pull in.
I'm using tilt controls.
Yeah, which could do it, but it would break the whole like one-handed gameplay thing, which has been their consistent sort of approach,
and vertical as well, right?
Yeah. We're going to talk about Magic Kart, by the way, Magic Kart Jump later, because that came out. The game is so weird.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing still is that big question mark of like, is this tied to a Switch game or not? But this report doesn't go into that. I'm curious myself if that game ships this year or not, or if they continue to sort of push it back and just trying to align it with something that's coming. Because it needs to be, or it should be, a companion in some case, because we've talked about it on the show before. Nintendo's not going to just give you an Animal Crossing game you're going to play forever on your mobile phone. That's not happening.
Yep,
they want you to play Animal Crossing on a Switch.
Yep.
All right.
Sure.
Moving on. Let's talk about... it's been a leaky week. E3 always brings in the leaks and things that you have heard about. But this week, we actually got to see it. So Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, some key art leaked and some presentation slides leaked. And we're going to talk about them and sort of some of the outrage that has come from this reveal. And this is by far the worst kept secret in video games. I mean, I feel
like you can apply that to any Ubisoft franchise at this point. I don't know what's going on with that studio, but they obviously use so many different development teams that stuff always gets out now. Like they hardly have any surprises left.
If you have a secret that you want the world to know, you tell it to Ubisoft. Every single thing. I mean, like, we took a break from looking at like Assassin's Creed Egypt screens to talk about this story, right?
Yep,
the Far Cry stuff even was getting leaked out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. I think many of us went through The entire range of emotions on this one.
I thought, like, you were gonna say the 8 stages of grief.
We can call it that. We can call it that. It feels, I'll be straight up, like, what we've learned about this game, I'm going to play it because it seems fun. It really does seem fun. It's a sort of exploration based. There's boss fights. There's co-op stuff. There's multiplayer stuff. It's branded very weird. It feels, to be honest, like the kind of game we would have seen halfway through the Wii U's life cycle, like where Nintendo calls upon Ubisoft, the Raving Rabbids, to come on down and help things out a little bit. It doesn't feel like something you do when you're killing it, which Nintendo's doing right now. Like, that's it's kind of like if, like, Katy Perry did a song with Kid Rock right now. You'd be like, interesting choice. Well, why'd you call Kid Rock?
So the first time I heard about this game, and this is ages ago, right? And by the way, the first time kind of word leaked out, and a couple folks on Twitter, I think, leaked it, and some websites wrote it up. We asked Ubisoft straight up about it, and they said, oh, we don't know anything about that. And it's like, you know, you're not going to get a company to admit something on the record when they're just not ready to announce it. But behind the scenes, it very much sounded like this was a go. And I imagined it was like a kind of like a Nintendo Square team up, like the Mario RPG, kind of like in the Super NES days. Like, that's what I envisioned. I thought, here's a company that's working on the South Park RPGs, you know, like, they will do a crossover with the Mario universe and fill that gap for like a Mario RPG style game that's different from, you know, Mario and Luigi and some of the later games. But what it actually is, it reminds me a little bit of Captain Toad. It feels like a more kind of confined universe with, like, set stages and boss fights and then turn-based gameplay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's much more of a strategy game, and each character has their own unique powers and things they can do. And confoundingly, they have these weird, like, blaster weapons, like Mega Man style, grafted onto their arms.
And so this is the most baffling thing about this, because I think the last video game I reviewed for IGN was Scribblenauts Unlimited.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the Wii U launch.
Okay.
And that's the one, I believe I'm getting the names right. There's a lot of Scribblenauts game. That's the one where they teamed up with Nintendo and they put a bunch of Nintendo characters in the game. Now, the weird thing about that was the entire game was about sort of interacting with adding adjectives. So you could be like Zombie Man, or, you know, a dead guy holding a gun. You write these sentences. Nintendo characters were in the game, but none of them could really do anything specifically.
Sad Mario.
No Giant Peach, like all these weird brand guidelines. And now, fast forward to 2017, they're like, give Yoshi a bazooka, give Mario a gun. Like, it seems very like,
well, there's precedent with a bazooka and Yoshi.
I know. But it's cool to see that they're sort of, the bazooka Yoshi thing goes back to the Super Scope.
Yeah.
It's cool to see them sort of
shoulder being, still hurts from that.
From thinking about that. Yeah. It's cool to see them sort of, like, I don't know, let go of the reins a little bit and be like, have some fun. But this is just a weird choice. What I don't like about this game, to be straight up with you, is the same thing I don't like a lot about some of the localization stuff we've seen from Nintendo in the last few years. It's very, like, meme heavy, and it's the kind of stuff that there's hashtags in this artwork. Mm-hmm. Princess Peach Rabbit, as a sentence I just said, is taking a selfie in this, which is like, this is all fun and dandy, but like, the cool thing about Nintendo games is that they're timeless.
Yeah.
And if I go back and play this game in 7 years and it's like hashtag, you know, selfie, like, I'm like, that we might not be talking like that anymore.
Yeah, we don't know enough about this partnership too. I just want to weigh in a little bit here. I mean, I'm not outraged that this thing exists.
No.
I am not sure of what it is, because it is only just art, right? And I know that I saw a big reaction on the internet of folks who were upset or were like, what is this? Why is this? I'm like, well, I need to see how it plays before I can really say anything, first of all.
You know me. I don't usually understand the upsetness factor, right? Like, there are people who get very, very angry when there are so many Star Wars movies coming. And I'm like, there are only as many Star Wars movies as you watch. If a Star Wars movie looks dumb, don't go. It's not going to hurt
well,
you.
Well, right?
And like,
it doesn't matter. I don't have to watch what they put out. And if something looks interesting, I go and buy it or I watch it. And so a game like this, that's a crossover, I'm not going to condemn it before I play it. I want to see what it is. You know, we can laugh about the cheesy factor and that it's like glowingly trying to reach to like a younger demographic with that.
Yeah. And I want to shoot out props, because the slides that we see here were reported and sort of put on the internet by some friends at Nintendo World Report. And I, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that seems very like this is marketing teams talking about what they're going to do with this game, and not these were developers sort of like figuring out what the game is.
No, these are leaked internal slides from Ubisoft to sort of be like, here's when we reveal, here's when the reviews go out, here's when we twist people's arms to get them to convince them to.
What they need to do is put a section at the end of the meeting where here's where we burn all the slides and just walk out of
it should be on self-destructive paper or whatever.
Like that's how you keep secrets.
So to back up real quick, Pear, to not justify, but sort of drill down and understand why people get upset at stuff like this. It's because someone looks at a partnership like this and they go, why did Nintendo call Ubisoft to make a Rabbids Mario game rather than call Yacht Club to make a 2D Metroid? Right. Or why didn't they? It's the sort of like, well, if you're mad about this, well, why don't you save this whole world about this?
You
like,
mean armchair CEO is what you're saying.
Or it's why isn't Nintendo working with them on making Far Cry platform, right? Like, and that's, I understand that.
And I think to be like perfectly honest here, the marketing for the Switch sort of from the jump has been geared towards adults. And we're seeing a lot of cool stuff that scales for kids and adults, but we haven't really seen a lot out of Nintendo that's straight up for children. Even stuff like 1-2 Switch was very heavy on the drinking and Nintendo stuff.
I think you didn't see a lot of that until Mario Kart, at least. Like, that's when you started to see like kids with controllers, or that was the section of the ad where that happened.
Yep.
And it could very well be that this is a kid's game.
Yeah.
Focused for kids, about kids. Nintendo had oversight and made sure that Mario didn't do anything too unsavory with his little bazooka blaster.
Do you remember the Plants vs. Zombies multiplayer, like the
Garden Warfare?
Yeah, what? Garden Warfare.
About the multiplayer shooter. Yeah.
So I remember when that first got announced, as a big PVZ guy, I was like, this sucks. This is stupid. I don't want this. This is not what I want from the franchise. And then that game went on to be
a good game.
It's a good game.
Great
it's
game.
Very popular. Yeah, yeah. It sold very well. And I'm like, maybe I just don't know. Like, sometimes it's okay to take a franchise in a different direction.
Yeah.
I don't look at this. Okay, here's the thing. If we weren't getting Mario Odyssey this year, I would be livid about this.
Okay, that's a different story.
I'd be livid.
Yeah.
That's a reason to be livid, I feel.
Because then you feel, you get worried. You're like, oh, this is filling the Mario gap.
Yeah.
But that's not what's happening. And I want to say one thing about the Switch and how it's positioned, right? Ubisoft, a year ago, before the Switch came out, did not know who it was going to sell through. All they knew was their market data and what they've experienced with the last machines with Nintendo. And that means Just Dance, mega hit. They earned so much money on that franchise. Rayman did amazingly well. Yep. Cartoonish games work on Nintendo platforms. The other games tanked, right? Like, that's a lot of the other kind of core Ubisoft franchises did not work on the platform. You remember all the kerfuffle around Watch Dogs and how long that took to like consider to bring it to the platform. Like, they had second thoughts on it. And this is the safe bet, is to say, you know what? Maybe this platform will be like the 3DS. So let's make sure we put Rayman on there. And then there's the extra kind of like the sweetener is Nintendo is going to let us use their characters. This is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You can't, as a Ubisoft, you can only use those characters in Just Dance or in a Rabbids or a Rayman game.
Which is,
because it won't fit into anything.
Yeah, it's very odd. Like, that's the thing. Like, these characters, we went to Gamescom last year.
Yeah.
And I was in France for a couple of days afterwards. They're huge there. They're everywhere.
Yep.
Like, and it's very, they're in capsule toy machines. They're on posters and walls and in game shops everywhere. And then you come here to America and we don't really think about the Rabbids anymore. They're not really. Yep. So it's a weird brand to collaborate with, but Mario collaborates weird. Like, Mario and Sonic finally teamed up after years. And what do? They went to the damn Olympics. Like, we were not expecting that.
Sure,
and they made like five of those games.
Yeah. So. And it could be too that Ubisoft's big bet with this game is that it takes advantage of Switch, that it is a two person game that can be played anywhere. Cause that's kind of the smart thing to tap into with any Switch game, I feel. And it wouldn't surprise me if Odyssey has a two-player element of some kind, just because it's another great example if they find a great way to do it. I mean, think about it too. 3D World was a great multiplayer, I think a great multiplayer Mario game, probably the best multiplayer Mario game I thought they'd ever done. At least until, full stop. Like, I was not a huge fan of the new Super Mario Brothers games. I was always kind of turned off as to how chaotic it can get, even though there is fun to that.
I'll definitely back you up on that.
Yeah.
I actually like the new Super Mario games. I had a lot of good times playing co-op. 3D World was on another level. Like, that game is fantastic.
No, it is. And if they even turned around and said, we'd port that game for Switch, by the way, day one, like, I would not care.
The unedited recordings of you and I playing those games together, that alone ensures
we'll never see a different side of us entirely.
I like it when Ubisoft's creative like this, when they try something different outside of what they've done before. you know, they've always supported Nintendo platforms. If you think of games like Zombie U and Red Steel, they've put out games that are different from what you'd expect. Everybody's saying, oh, they're going to put franchise A or B on it, and then they create a new,
a new title. IP. Yeah,
like, and Rabbids was an example of that too.
Well, the original. What was the other one that was the Wii U launch game? Zombie U.
So they're there for launch, and they also know how to take advantage of hardware really well. I mean, and I think they did the same thing for, I'm a big fan of PlayStation VR. They shipped Eagle Flight, which is one of those games that just fits that hardware perfectly.
Right. Yeah.
So they're good at that. So I think, Jose, you're totally onto something, that this game will really work with the fact that the Nintendo Switch is awesome on the go when you pop those controllers off the side and you want to play multiplayer. Like, and again, like, this might be for kids, but I hope it does what Nintendo's best games do and Mario's best games do, which is it scales from, you know, 5 to 99.
Yeah, and it could be just a family title in that vein. I do hope, though, that the Rabbids stuff specifically is not off the leash, so to speak, because I think if that stuff gets obnoxious, you are definitely turning off someone who's older, someone like me, who just like, I can't do this. But then again, if I'm not the target for it, like, that's the one thing that every time we circle around a title that is clearly intended for a younger audience, like, I feel like, hey, Pikmin, or I was talking even about Miitopia when I was here, there is just sort of this cynical reaction as to, well, that's not for me. Well, you know what? Not everything they make is going to be.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. You know,
I think
at the end,
like,
of the day,
worst comes to worst, if you really hate these little French minion animals, you can shoot them. This game will let you shoot them. So that'll at least be a little cathartic.
They are actually the most tortured video game characters. Remember when they were in the Wii remote and you had to shake it and all that?
Oh,
like,
God,
they do all this. And they actually, I would say, like, they get the comedy right more often than not. The crazy, like, scream that the rabbits did. It was funny.
Okay, good.
They just got to make sure that they're not repeating themselves so that it becomes like, you know, Austin Powers Part 3, like, where it's like the same jokes all over, and you're not amused by it anymore. And, like, I hear your worries about, like, the, hey, look at us teenagers, it's a selfie, like, just kind of like, it's a little on the nose, but at the same time, like, they really don't let us down that often.
Well, it's like Guacamelee is one of my favorite 2D platformer games ever made, and that game is full of, like, you know, 2011 memes. Like, grumpy.
It's a bit off. It's a bit unleashed in that.
Yeah,
one. Yeah,
and I went to go back recently to check it out, and, like, they're not really in your face. It's not in the writing. It's just on billboards in the background. But sometimes your eye catches it, and you're like, oh man, and you just kind of groan a little bit. But so
we'll see. And, like, these PowerPoint presentations are always painful, by the way.
And if it doesn't work out with Kingdom Battle and Mario and Rabbids, keep those blasters, kids, because, you know, Mega Man could really use some help, and Mario would be the right franchise to cross over with, I think. I don't know that. I'm just making that up. All right, let's move on then to some news. This week had some interesting headlines and some interesting reveals. First of all, Netflix basically took the covers off the animated series for, I can't believe I'm saying this, Castlevania is going to have a series that will debut on Netflix July 7th. We should talk about, do you guys see the trailer? It's roughly 30 seconds. There's 30-second lead-in with the NES and sort of referencing all of these shows that have been renewed. So Orange is the New Black has a tile, like, and they're picking a game, and then
it's like pixelated graphics.
Yeah, and then it kicks off. And even the cartridge is a cute little homage to the original cover of the NES Castlevania, which has, you know, the back of Simon Belmont, and you had Dracula's head, like, floating ominously in the background, and you can see the castle. I love all that, although the red cartridge was weird. And then, yeah, you got it. So back when this show was announced, Adi Shankar, the producer, described it as Castlevania very much done in the vein of Game of Thrones. Now, I don't think this first trailer showed that.
No.
But what did you think?
I like the art direction a lot. It reminded me of the DS Castlevania games, which started to get a little more anime, but, like, maybe went a little too far. And this feels kind of grim and a little more vicious, which I like. Mm-hmm. My big regret, and I said this on Up at Noon this morning, is this didn't give Konami a great excuse to coincide the launch of a new Castlevania game. And I said, maybe with the season finale, like, they can tease one, but the season finale is the same day the game, the show launches, because it's Netflix. Yeah. It's all there
all
at once, right?
Once. Yeah,
so
July 7th.
To me, it's like, it's great news. It looks cool. I'm into it. I wish it had been, like, part of this sort of franchise relaunch. And this is where I feel like it's a missed opportunity. And I see this kind of stuff a lot, where it's like, you're putting out this new show, that's the perfect time to sort of be like, here's another 2D Castlevania.
On the flip side, though, it could be used to gauge interest, right? Yeah, it could, like, let's say the viewership on Netflix ends up, like, it gets a bunch of stars.
Yeah.
And it has a good, like, sort of just folks watch through the entire thing. Like, those kind of statistics, I think, at least tell Konami, who isn't anyone's favorite company these days, let's be fair, although Bomberman kind of picked up at least some good favor, I think, for them, just in the fact that they've supported and done more for that game. I think it does give them a reason to revisit and try something.
They might also have maybe their partner of Nintendo's online plan. You'll get your Symphony of the Night online leaderboard.
I mean,
speedrun edition or something. There could be some 16-bit
or
something.
I'm so glad you said that game. If there's one game in the history of video games, it makes sense to be on a Nintendo platform, and it is not. It is Symphony of the Night. Yeah. Like, I was playing that game the other day, and I was like, how has this never, ever, 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 ever? It's been on an Xbox, and it still hasn't hit a Nintendo.
That's crazy. I would kill for just a GBA Castlevania collection on Switch.
Oh, those are good, too.
Give me Harmony of Dissonance, Aria of Sorrow, and Circle of the Moon. And just brighten up Circle of the Moon a little bit and ship it.
So my reaction to the... I liked the trailer. At first, it started a little cheesy with the NES thing. I'm like, oh, God. But then it went into very traditional-looking, like, hand-drawn-looking animation. And I really liked that. And I liked the style as well. It had cool music, but I didn't hear, like, the themes from the games that I love. So I really hope they're doing the music right.
I hope they
pick all the big themes from the games, because then it's going to be just so much fun to watch, just to spot the characters and the places and the monsters you like. But also the tunes you remember.
Well, and they already started with some cool deep cuts. I mean, so far, from what you can tell, we're hoping that the main Belmont is Trevor Belmont, which means this is Castlevania 3, by the way, Dracula's Curse, which changed everything the minute it came out, because it is one of the greatest soundtracks in video game history.
Yep. Yep.
Full stop. Just no further. In that trailer, you got to look at Sypha. I think her last name is pronounced Belnadaz. I'm not sure. Belnadaz. That is the magician character that... was actually called a he in Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. It's a woman. They show her in there, and they've cleared that up several years ago. And they also give you a look at someone who I think is Alucard, the dude swinging the sword who like rises out of his coffin. I was just like, oh my. And granted, Alucard didn't even look like that in the original Castlevania 3. He looked like a cheesy Dracula, to be completely honest. Like, he had short hair, black, he was pale-skinned, and he was the weakest character in the game, probably the one that was the most frustrating, but you can transform into a bat and then fly off as long as you had enough parts. You remember all this,
Yeah,
right?
Of course, man.
No sign of Grant Dynasty, but I don't think anybody ever wants to see that man again. Mm-hmm. And even a quick shot of Dracula where it looks like he just sort of use some magic or something, but smart deep cuts, stuff that people like me, the minute I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this may actually be good.
It's cool.
I had the lowest expectations.
It's definitely cool. Like I said, I wish we got another game, but like, I will totally take an awesome Castlevania TV show that's done with care. I think, like, and I've said this before on the show, like, we had that era where we got a 2D Castlevania every few years, and I think we kind of took it for granted because we thought it would happen forever, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
And now it's been a very long time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
All right. Next story we have is that 8-bit I think it's one word. I'm trying my best.
8-bit dough.
8-bit dough. Their Bluetooth retro controllers are now compatible with Switch thanks to a firmware update that they just put out. So this means if you own some of their controllers, for example, their Super Nintendo controller is fantastic.
Perfect, yeah.
They also have an NES variant that, in the style of the Virtual Console original controller, that's fine. The other NES variant, which Brian owns, is an abomination.
I know it's
that
not-
should be like just completely erased from history.
Uh-huh.
It's awful.
I love it.
I hate that thing.
I think it's the best video game controller ever made.
What is it called?
It's called like the
NES number,
the NES 30 or something like that.
Maybe.
So it's got okay. This is hard to explain. It's a Super Nintendo shaped.
No. I'm talking about the NES one. That is NES shape.
The square one?
The square one.
Oh, that's the
is
one.
Is the one that I despise.
Okay.
Burn that thing.
So this, it's a square-shaped NES controller, NES-shaped NES controller with, I believe it has two, does it have shoulder buttons?
It does have shoulder buttons, which I'm okay with. I could live through that. Keep going.
And it's got four it's got four face buttons.
That I have a problem with.
Why?
Because the four face buttons are hideous. And they put like this cross section that they tried to put there that makes no sense because it only cuts through one side and the other side is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't undo what I see. And that thing is bad.
All right. I'll give you that.
I know what you're getting for Christmas.
But they have another one.
I will throw it at you.
The other one I really like, I think it's called the NES 30, is shaped like a Super Nintendo controller. It has four shoulder buttons.
Cool.
Dual analog stick. The front face art is way more evocative of the original NES, and I believe four face buttons.
I can tolerate that one.
Yeah,
that's okay. And the Super Nintendo one is just flat out a Super Nintendo controller minus branding.
And so all these controllers are on Amazon. They're all pretty cheap. There's even one. It's like this mini one. It's like the size of a keychain. You can literally keep it as a keychain. And just as a challenge to myself, I finished Link's Awakening with it a couple years ago.
Nice.
And it's really tiny. It's awesome. If you want to chuck it in your bag with your, it'll fit in your Switch case, which is nuts, right?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
If someone's like, I want a third controller, you have one right there. You have to update the firmware on these. They're all available on their website. And then they connect Bluetooth to your Switch, and you can play stuff like Street Fighter with like a dedicated actual six button controller if
nice.
You wanted to.
Nice.
Which you can't even do if you split the Joy-Cons off. So, you know,
It's six buttons, but it's not comfortable.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird because you're fighting with shoulder buttons.
Yeah, exactly. An analog stick, and that's a separate issue.
So I don't know. It's interesting. It's a really cool move. I don't know if it's like hypothetically Nintendo could update their own firmware to block this out. And you could get this sort of back and forth arms race for a while.
I hope it doesn't turn into that. I mean, there's always going to be third-party controllers, whether you can control it or not.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that they have a history of just allowing the support, mm-hmm. so it's fine.
I think
as long as they get a license, we're good.
Yeah.
Nintendo, if you're listening, burn that NES control. Like, just wipe it out. Oh, my God.
I think it works well for stuff like, you know, Blaster Master or Shovel Knight, games that, like, have that style. Yeah. But when you're holding that control, and you're staring at that Switch, you're like, where the hell is my virtual console?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that's missing. So, I mean, it's coming, right? Yeah, it's happening. Yeah. So
I'm glad you brought it up only because this past weekend, because of a friend of mine, I got put onto a podcast called Back in My Play that did an episode about Zelda 2. A bunch of guests who've been on IGN on our show were on that episode, sort of singing the praises of why Zelda 2 is one of the most misunderstood games of all time. So the whole weekend I was playing Zelda 2 on a 3DS, and you know what it made me realize? I really want this on Switch.
I like that game.
3DS is just so small, and when you think of how big the screen is on your Switch, and when you think of how much better it feels on your Switch, I was just sitting there going, man, I cannot wait until this happens.
I know. I love Zelda 2. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, I love it too. Fight me. So next up, Samsung TVs to fix Nintendo Switch HDMI issue. If this is only affected certain models, and Brian, you had some.
Yeah, have you had this issue?
No, I have a Sony.
Basically, it would turn
don't
on
you
a, your.
Don't you have the same Samsung?
No, I got the Sony Z9D.
Really? Yeah. Did you trade yours?
No. You're thinking of the one we have in the office.
Yeah, well, it's just by your desk. I just figured
that's
you had
that.
That's
not mine. That's just that's work.
GM money. So
everywhere the light touches
it broke something.
Kingdom.
So basically, it would turn on your television, or it would switch. It would basically auto switch. So Nintendo Switch has an auto switch on feature for your television.
Yep.
So the way the feature is intended to work is that if you turn on your Switch, it will turn on your television and switch to that input. It's automatic input switching.
Yeah.
If you turn off your television, it'll turn off your Switch, which I think is amazing. By the way, it'll just put it to sleep mode rather not.
Yeah.
Off. You made a face.
because I hate that. Accidentally turn it.
Yeah, and to be clear, this is specifically for the Samsung KS8000 4K HDR TVs.
I think there's a few other models, but I have a Samsung at home. Never happened with this.
Yeah.
I have an LG TV at my desk, which it happens. Something else happens. We'll talk about that. But speaking to The Verge, Samsung said Samsung has been following the comments on our community thread, and we will be issuing a firmware update early this summer that will address this behavior and provide the level of convenience that was intended.
Good.
That said, LG TV still hasn't said a word about if they're going to fix their issue. So their issue is even more annoying because I'm playing a PS4 game. I'm playing Overwatch at my desk.
Yeah.
And a dialogue box will pop up saying, hey, do you want to switch inputs? Because we detect the other device. And it just happens randomly.
Oh, no, I get the same thing.
And it will get you killed.
This is what's happening on my TV right now, where it's like my Switch is a toddler that runs in the room while I'm playing my PS4. And I love my Switch, but like, daddy's playing PS4.
So
I'll be sitting there playing it, and all of a sudden this thing pops up, and it's just like, it's all of a sudden you're in Switch mode.
Yeah,
and you're like, what?
So I think in your case, I don't know if you use the feature. I like the feature at home, so I'm going to leave it on. But maybe you should turn off the auto switching. Like, I think that's the short-term fix. But the long-term fix is, you know, TV manufacturers or maybe even Nintendo themselves need to put something out there. Mm-hmm. And school's out, according to the tone we just heard.
Yeah.
So we're going to move to the next story, which is that Pokemon Magikarp Jump is out on iOS and Android. This is a free to surprise. I believe this game has been out in Japan before because I've seen vague tweets that always involved Magikarp and the behaviors they have in this game, and it makes no sense. It is ludicrous, but it is the idea that but in a wacky sense, like in a way, I mean that as affectionately as I can say that.
Doesn't give you as the same level of comfort that Frau Doktor in Overwatch gives you. Yeah,
no,
confusing you.
Yeah, no, it's just it's weird. It's a game where there's no other Pokemon you should care about. Except for Magikarp, which is historically the Pokemon no one cares about.
Right,
so I think it's a funny twist. The idea is that you are trying to train a Magikarp to jump and win this competition. You are competing against other people at these championship events who their Magikarp can jump to. And as you train and develop this Magikarp, it gets fatter, it gets bigger. I think it could even turn into a Gyarados, which if you know, that's your canon Pokemon stuff, that's accurate. I think I just started playing it, so I don't have a lot to say.
Wait, did you get to the most important part?
What?
Where you train and you fight with him, and if you lose, he's gone and you have to do it all over again.
Wait, does he get taken away by like a Pidgey or something?
Oh man, I don't have how to break this news to you. Your goldfish gets flushed down the toilet basically, and it gets replaced by a new one.
Wow.
And most kids won't notice, but we're adults, and I'm telling you the hard news.
What?
Wow. Yeah, right. Wait till you get that far.
I didn't get that far.
Well, that's so the sort
how
of
how much did you play? This thing just came out last night.
That's the grindy element.
All right,
right?
Got it. So,
God.
Yeah, so they don't really want you to care about Magikarp yet, then maybe they're just making fun of it. But regardless,
this is a running gag for them.
Yeah,
right?
And it's a good one.
Don't challenge me
song.
To see how fast it'll take me to kill a Magikarp, because I'll do it quick.
Clearly. Okay, just a reminder for folks that the ARMS Global Test Punch is this weekend. This is check your local listings for exactly what time you can play, but I think the first session, if you're on the West Coast, at least like we are, is 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Text me. I'll forget.
So I'll have to text Pear to remind him.
Totally forgot already. What time? 5 p.m. on the West Coast.
He did it.
So this is the entire, but is it the entire game? Do I get to pick any character?
Three stages, and I think most of what we knew of the roster before the new characters.
Okay,
so no Twintel. Bark, no Booty Queen Twintel.
No.
I think Helix is in there, though. But
you get all your favorites. You got RoboCop, Dino DNA, and Ramen Girl.
Yeah, so you got Springman, Min Min, Ribbon Girl,
okay.
Master Mummy,
Noodle Lady.
You got some good stuff.
Noodle Lady, yeah.
Yeah. So check that out. Play. Let us know what you think.
It's like an hour and then it's over.
Over,
gone.
I really don't like that format. Like, I just give us a day, give us 2 days, and then just let it go.
It's a stress test. I get why they do it.
It stressed the hell out of me last time with Splatoon when I couldn't connect.
This is time. Oh my God. This is the last match. No.
Look, I'm curious to play it a bit more. You know, I've only been able to play it at events, and it's kind of difficult to get a feel for it because you've got like loudspeakers blaring and Brian saying, "Come on, let's go eat fries." Finally, just kind of. Well, sit down. Are you going to stand up and play it? Like, do you really get into it?
This body needs a workout, so I might. I've gained some weight in the past.
But if you stand,
weeks.
Can you still see the TV? Isn't it like way?
Yes,
low?
I can see the. TV.
Okay. Just check.
Oh my
like the
God.
The cloud layer doesn't prevent you from seeing
it? No, it doesn't.
Okay. All right.
And that's our show this week. Thank you so much for watching the Nintendo Voice Chat. I may lose my job after today. just remember that we're a weekly show on IGN. Make sure that you subscribe wherever you're watching this. So that includes IGN.com. That includes YouTube.com/IGN or YouTube.com/IntendoVoiceChat. Most importantly, and leave us feedback. Write a comment. Let us know what you think. Also, you can follow us on your favorite or whatever you use to download podcasts. We're always there. Lastly, you can find us all on Twitter. You can find Brian Altano at
Agent Bizzle.
You can find Per Schneider at
Per IGN.
And you can find me, hopefully, next week, Jose_Otero on Twitter. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll be back next week with more Nintendo Voice Chat.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.